It is 7:45 on a Saturday morning. You know what that means. Time for another wine chat with our friend Ted Farrell from Haskell's. Ted, good morning.
Good morning, Denny. How are you today?
Well, I think I caught a little bit of a bug that you had a few weeks ago, but I'm sure it wasn't you that passed it on to me, because we haven't been in the same room together for a while. But we'll get through it.
I love to give, but not that kind of giving.
Yeah, right. Whenever a friend of mine is feeling run down, I said, "Oh, you got to drink a little more red wine, and then you'll feel better." But that's right. It does. What are we going to talk about today, Ted?
Well, today I thought, you know, it is the beginning of the holiday season. There's so many holidays in the next, 2 to 3 weeks, which is daunting for some. But what we're trying to do is make it a little bit easier for you as far as sitting down and do your party planning. And I can give you some tips that hopefully will make the planning of the party, or at least the beverage side of things, a lot easier and a lot more manageable, a lot more to control. I was just working with a friend's son who's getting married actually today and doing the reception. So it kind of sparked the idea of sitting there kind of going through some of the calculations that you need to do in order to plan a party or a wedding for that matter. But, you know, you have the holidays coming up and you have people coming around. And the last thing you ever want to do, obviously, is run out of something. So our kind of calculations that we use to kind of plan your party out will help you ensure that, so you don't run out. You always have plenty and you have a good time and do that. So, you know, the biggest thing to figure out when you're doing any form of party is figuring out kind of what the overall structure is. You know, whether you're just going to do a simple reception, have people around, pour some wine, or you're sitting down, maybe, again, it's a wedding reception. You have to think about the different formats that you're going to do, whether it's a dinner party. And, like, dinner parties can be being a little technical because, you know, some people might want to serve the precise wine with each course, then you need a lot of different glasses and things like that. So those are the first few things that you need to step in there is to figure out what your overall party is going to be. Again, whether if it's a wide open kind of, just a reception, so to speak, do you want champagne out? Do you want to make a signature cocktail? Do you want to just make it so simple where it's red and white? Those are your choices. You do it. And you can do that. And that's what's terrific about that. So the biggest thing, is one of the first steps, is to figure out what your overall format is, because that will kind of point you in the direction of what you need and how you want to do it. And again, on some of those receptions, or if it's a cocktail party, you got to stock your bar and make sure you have enough vodkas and gins and all that. Nowadays, there's so many other things that people love to put into their beverages as far as the mixed drinks to make sure you have enough vermouth and nowadays Amaro. And again, if you want that signature drink, no matter what it might be these days, there's so many different derivations of the Manhattan, the old fashioned, all that. But just make sure you have all of that ready and raring. So the format is very, very important to figure out what you're needed. Now, the alcohol, the other couple things that are very important to figure out what you need for is the next step would be your overall menu. Now, your menu, you know, can vary, obviously, what you're doing and what you might have. You know, if you're having a classic dinner party with 3 or 4 courses, you know, you iron all that stuff out. You have to make the decision of, well, do I want to serve a simple white wine as a starter, maybe a champagne, and then when I have my first course, a little salad, I'll do a light Chablis, and if I'm having lobster, I want to have a little bit of white Bordeaux, and then I do a big roast and want a big red wine. So, you know, those are the factors you can play that. And sometimes on a dinner party like that, you can just say kind of drink it family style where you have a red and a white. You put the bottles at the table, have at it, but it's really the form and function of it. So with that, you need the menu. And then you also need to know about how many people you're going to have at your event, whether it's, you know, a simple dinner party of maybe 6 people, or you're going to have an open house where you send out 200 invitations. You don't know what to have, or you don't know how many people are going to show up, but you have a large group of people with that. And the one thing you always kind of want to factor for is to maybe over budget a little bit as far as the beverages are concerned. Again, you don't want to run out. So there's a couple of quick little rules to kind of follow when you're sitting there sorting out what you might want to do or how much wine or liquor that you need. Now, with wine, it's a little bit simple. You can say you get about 5 pours per bottle. Now, I'll caveat that with a lot of people. That's fairly conservative. You can actually get a little bit more. It's sometimes more like 7. It's twofold. You use the number 5, A, so you don't run out, and B, it's easier math to contend to rather than timesing things by 7. Timesing things by 5 is a lot easier. So with that, generally speaking, a case of wine will get you 60 pours. One bottle of wine will get you about 5 pours. So that gives you an idea of where or about what types of wine. Some people might ask, well, what if I get a 3-liter box? Inside the 3-liter box, you probably get about 20 pours, give or take, based on the ability. 3 liters, 1/3 of the case of wine. So it's about 20 pours per bottle. On the alcohol side, is a little tricky. I kind of factored in a little bit heavier pour, 2 ounces. So in 1 liter of a bottle of alcohol, you get about 33 ounces. And with that, you know, kind of quick factor, let's say a 2-ounce pour into your drinks, you get about 16. Now that is on the heavy side. Don't get me wrong. A 2-ounce pour for some is a little bit too steep. But again, what we're trying to do is factor it in so you don't run out. You don't want to have somebody kind of just light their hair on fire that halfway through the party, there's no more rum or whatnot, or whatever your signature cocktail is, there's no more, you go on with it. Also on a 1.75 or a magnum that we call it of alcohol, there's about just shy of 60 ounces inside that. So you get about 30 pours or 30 2-ounce pours out of that handled vodka type thing. Beer is pretty simple to factor. Obviously, if you bought a 12-pack or a case of beer, there's the serving right there. They're in individual cans. When you decide to move into things like a keg, that can be a little bit trickier. A keg, we can base this on a 16-gallon keg. Generally speaking, you get about 130. In the perfect situation, you could almost get up to 170 pours. But a keg is a little bit trickier because you put the tap in, you have a lot of foam that can blow off. There's a lot of spillage. So kind of figuring in 130 for it, because in 1 gallon, there's 128 ounces of liquid. And so you get, in theory, 10 cups of beer out of that. Now, using kegs nowadays has kind of fallen out of fashion because it is messy. If they're heavy, they're hard to lug around. There are some smaller versions nowadays that the microbreweries do, about a 6-gallon. Looks like a scuba tank. It's a little bit easier to pour it around, but still, that 1 gallon equaling 128 ounces is about the good factor to deal that with. But on the other side, making it simple with the beers, it's a lot easier just to say you got a 12-pack, you have 12 servings, you bought a solid case, you have 24 servings. And with beers, you know, nowadays, beers, there's so many ranging products and so many different varietals. I'm on the side of you just do something simple where you have a light beer and a heavier beer, again, to make that party a little bit easier, a little bit simpler, so you don't have to jump through all these different hoops. Because, again, there's so many people who love IPAs and porters and stouts. You know, there's peanut butter beers, all that type of stuff. But with that, I really think if you just kind of keep it simple, you as the entertainer is going to be a little bit easier respite. So, you know, those are the calculations that you like to use. And then so many other factors can jump into it, especially if you're planning a wedding. You know, other factors really jump into it, where if you're sitting down and deciding, well, we're going to do a champagne toast, that really affects it, because however many people you have at that deal, you want one glass of wine for them to raise that up. So that will really factor into your service. Now, if you're just putting bottles of wine out on the table for a wedding, again, that will affect it. But if you follow some of those rules, and those portions kind of give you a good estimate of what you might need. And then when you pair that up with your menu, then it's going to be a lot easier. And another quick factor to cite in there too is how long your party's going to last. If it's going to be a quick, hour-long party, you will factor things back. If there's a, you know, it's going to be, you know, an open house that ranges for 3 or 4 hours, you factor that in. But the bigger issue is how many people are going to be there and what type of style, what type of service, what type of beverages that you want to do. And always, we always try to say, you know, what's the new moniker nowadays? Kits. Keep it simple, stupid, where, you know, the easier, the better. You know, yeah, you always want to please the crowd and make sure everybody has a little bit of everything, but sometimes that can just drive you a wee bit crazy. You know, I have yet to see anybody show up to somebody's house, and if they're serving a Merlot and not a Pinot Noir, do they turn around and leave? As the old joke is, if they insult you with wine you don't like, you drink the insult. And so, you know, people don't do that. So it's the bigger issue. And then also on that factoring, since we went fairly conservative on the amounts of pours that you get on that, the whole idea is that you don't run out. So even if you're having about 30 people, 40 people, and you say, oh, we're going to have, everyone's going to have three beverages, then you say, well, let's do two cases of wine. Well, that might be overkill, but then again, you do have some left over and ready to take care of. You can use it at a later date. You could, you know, the holidays are a long season. But following some of those quick rules and tips should allow your entertaining to be a lot easier, takes the stress away from doing that. Worry about the stress of whether your souffle doesn't flop or you burnt your pot roast or whatever. You know, we'll take care of that for you as far as making it easy and simple to get that on your table and get your party started.
Boy, I can say yes to that. I remember many years ago, I helped organize my folks' 50th wedding anniversary. And thanks to the folks at Haskell's and your dad, they helped me. They did all the math. And we did what you just said, you know, talk about a toast with champagne. Got the right amount of bottles of champagne. It all turned out. So, yeah, let Haskell's do the math, because I was always bad at math. Somebody suggested, I'm looking at the screen, Ted, a text, and please, maybe in future shows, could you ask Ted to talk about Glühwein und other mulled wines? Maybe we can do that.
Well, we sure we could. You know, the holidays, we got a few more. The winter is a long time, and those are perfect times to have those types of wines. So we can schedule that as far as the mulled wines or the Glühweins, not a problem at all.
All right. Well, in the meantime, for folks that need help planning a party, or maybe you just want to have a great dinner and some great wine or other beverages, get to Haskell's, right?
You are correct, Eddie. And today is kind of a special day for us. We're kicking off our holiday wine sale. Between 1 and 4, you can stop in and try a whole array of different sparkling wines and bubbles between 1 and 4 in all the stores. Today, stop on in, and if you could always stop into Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with lots of free parking on the weekend. There's Haskell's in Minnetonka right across from the Ridgedale Shopping Center. Haskell's right in Highland Village on Ford Parkway. We have a Haskell's down in Bowman's Plaza in Bloomington. There's a Haskell's in Excelsior. The ice hasn't completely gone out in the lake, but it's a great thing to stop and see down in downtown Excelsior, or stop by the pub for a burger. There's Haskell's in White Bear Lake. We also have a Haskell's in Stillwater. There's a Haskell's right off the 35 in Faribault. Haskell's right on Rockford Road in Plymouth. Or stop by our super cellar, Haskell's in Maple Grove, a sight to be seen. And if all those are a little bit too difficult to hit up, you can sit and place your order on Haskell's.com 24/7. 7 days a week, not a problem. It doesn't sleep, it doesn't rest, and we'll get that delivered to you.
Easy as that. Thank you, Ted. Let's do this again next week.
I look forward to it, Denny. Have a great week.
You too. Thank you. Ted Farrell from Haskell's.